At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Sydney's 2UE, 4BC, and stations across Australia. More of Healthy Living with Dr. Ross.
Every Sunday night we are right here to talk about the best advice for your good health, how to get healthy, how to stay healthy, and take your calls on open line, all right? 13 13 32. Dial that number wherever you're listening right now. If you have a question or two for Dr. Ross Walker here on Healthy Living, a big hour coming up too, Doc.
Yeah, big hour. Very soon we'll have our final part three of the series with Hugh McKay. Yeah. His wonderful book, The Art of Belonging.
Yeah, it's wonderful book, isn't it?
It's a superb book, and that's in the Conscious Living segment with Dr. Alexandra Walker. We also need to talk about, is there a link between creativity and mental illness and the downsides of extreme exercise? I'm not talking about the Walker suggested dose of 3 to 5 hours per week. I'm talking extreme exercises like ultramarathons.
Yes.
So we'll be talking about that as well.
All right. But the most important part is your call. So 13 13 32, that number. As we head back to the open line, and Eileen's calling from 2CC territory.
Good evening, Eileen.
Good evening. Dr. Walker, could you tell me what the difference is between SOMAC and Nexium?
Look, they both come from pretty similar, well, identical groups called proton pump inhibitors. So they're really very, very similar drugs in the same class with slightly different biochemical actions, but really, really it works in the same thing by blocking the acid production in the stomach.
Yes.
So Nexium, SOMAC, they're really very similar.
So there's one's not better than the other.
No, it's like when we talk about the statin drugs, Lipitor versus Crestor. One's fat soluble, one's lipid soluble, one's water soluble. And with Nexium, the difference between that and SOMAC's very, 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 very slight.
Now also, can you tell me about Panadol Osteo? Does that tend to make you sick on the stomach?
Oh, look, any drug can give you a bit of nausea, and Panadol Osteo may be contributing to your nausea if you're getting a bit nauseated, or you could have a local problem in the stomach anyhow. Panadol Osteo is pretty benign, and it's not particularly strong.
Oh, right.
Okay?
Thank you.
Good to talk to you, Eileen.
You're welcome, Eileen. Thank you for making that phone call. 13 13 32, social commentator Hugh McKay coming up shortly. We'll take a look at his book. It's a brand new book called The Art of Belonging, and it's fantastic. Rick is online from Penrith.
Good evening, Rick.
Hello, mate.
Hey, doctor. How are you going?
Fine, thanks, mate. How can we help you?
Look, Doc, I've just got a question regarding metformin.
Yep.
I 2 years ago, I went to the GP and got my glucose tolerance test done.
Mm-hmm.
And it came back just above. It came back as insulin resistant.
Yeah.
And I got a I was put on no medication back then.
Mm-hmm.
But my normal GP went away, and another GP came, and he suggested I go on metformin.
Yeah.
And then when my normal GP returned, I suggested to him, and he said maybe not yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost some weight, and mm-hmm. a year later I got my glucose tolerance test done again, and my numbers did come down within the normal range, but up the higher range of the and it still came back as showing signs of insulin resistance.
Sure.
So I was thinking, I wanted to get on metformin because I've been told by my niece, who's a pharmacist, that it's the benefits of losing weight
mm-hmm.
with metformin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm from the subcontinent background, so we're more prone to get diabetes down the track.
100% chance of being insulin resistant. So can I first? Sorry, Rick, keep going. Yep.
And my dad's a diabetic,
yeah.
Type 2, and my sister's a type 1. So I thought, you know, I've got all the signs there.
Of course.
I'm 37 years old, and I'm probably sitting about 30 kilos overweight because I'm a shift worker and my lifestyle and that sort of stuff. But,
Okay. Well, let me just give you some perspective. Firstly, My opinion, which is not shared by my colleagues, of a glucose tolerance test is 2 hours of your life you'll never get back. I think they're a complete waste of time. All you need to know as far as insulin resistance goes is, firstly, what is your overnight fasting blood sugar level and hemoglobin A1C, which is 3 months sugar control, along with a tape measure around your belly. Now, for a male, if that tape measure is more than 95 centimetres and your fasting sugar is above six, and your fasting hemoglobin A1C was above 5.5, then you're insulin resistant. A glucose tolerance test is not going to tell you any more than that. Now, in terms of losing weight, when you are insulin resistant, the worst thing for an insulin resistant person and to prevent progression to diabetes is carbs and calorie intake. So you've got to cut back on your carbs and also cut back on your calorie intake. And in terms of weight loss, it's 80% eating and 20% exercise. So I have a lot of people who go to the gym 3, 4, 5 times a week, but because they're not cutting back on what they eat, then they still become overweight. So that's something you've got to think about. Now, I'm always talking about the natural substance Bergamet Mega, which works directly on the insulin receptors. So it reduces the risk for diabetes, and in people who are overweight, makes it easier to lose weight if you change what you're putting in your mouth, as does metformin. So metformin and Bergamet work beautifully together. If it was me and I was only 37 and was insulin resistant, I'd be using the Bergamet first because it's totally natural as opposed to a pharmaceutical drug. As I've said often, I've got to always repeat this, I do all the research and the stuff and I have an association with the company, but I think everyone over the age of 50 should be taking Bergamet anyhow just to keep their arteries healthy. Anyone who's insulin resistant should be on Bergamet. And as you say, all people from the subcontinent, 100% of those people have the gene for insulin resistance.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right, mate. Good to talk to you, Rick.
Good on you,
mate.
Thank you for your phone call tonight. And David, just quickly too, Doctor.
Good evening, David.
Good evening, Doctor. A quick one. 12 months ago, I had a couple of stents put in my heart.
Yep.
I am a diabetic, insulin dependent,
mm-hmm.
and I have neuropathy in my legs, so I can't exercise.
Yep.
When should I get my stents reviewed?
Well, you should be getting them reviewed every year with your cardiologist, but not with another angiogram. What I do in all people who have had stents in is I like to do a stress echo once a year to make sure the heart is still working well, which then tells me the stent is still nice and open. So everyone who's had a stent, I believe, should be seeing a cardiologist once a year.
Okay, well, the year is up, so I'll go back to my GP.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Good on you, David.
Thank you, mate.
Good to talk to you, mate.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for making that phone call. 13 13 32, the number. Now, scientists in Iceland report that genetic factors that raise the risk of bipolar disorder and schizophrenia are found more often in people in creative professions. Mm. What's the latest on that, Dr.
Well, firstly,
Ross?
David, I've got to tell you, I once went fishing in Iceland and people said, why'd you do that? I said, just for the halibut.
I love halibut.
Yeah, there's your
beautiful
joke.
Fish. But
anyhow, this was a study where they looked at 86,292 people from the general population and looked at all their genes. There's been a big thing called the Decode Genetics company in Iceland where they've been looking at the genes, and they found that there is a link between people who are creatives. They looked at musicians and dancers, artists, and a link there between that and the gene variants for schizophrenia and bipolar compared to non-creative individuals who have much less of those genes. So there's about a 25% higher risk of carrying the gene variants for schizophrenia and bipolar if you are a creative person.
Wow.
Now, the definition of creativity: novel approaches requiring cognitive processes that are different from prevailing modes of thought or expression. In other words, people who are different, people who think differently, do things differently, and often that is artistic people. And so what they're suggesting is there is that link. People who are very artistic do tend to have more bipolar disease. Where it's been said that Vincent van Gogh was schizophrenic. Kurt Cobain, the fellow who killed himself, tragically, was bipolar. And there are many people you hear about who are at that level of creativity who also have some struggles with mental illness. And it's suggesting that there's potentially, it's not only environmental, but it's also the gene that promotes them being creative also promotes them having mental illness. Well,
fascinating research.
Yeah.
We'll keep an eye on that in the future. Also coming up on Healthy Living shortly, we'll take a look at researchers that have discovered that extreme exercise can actually cause intestinal bacteria to leak into the bloodstream. That leads to blood poisoning.
Absolutely.
Extreme exercise linked to blood poisoning. All of the details coming up shortly. Stay here. Healthy Living with Dr. Ross Walker. 13 13 32, our number.
All weekend, kick back, relax, and unwind with 2UE.
This is Ken Sayer, founder and owner of Mortgage House, with fantastic news for home buyers. What is it? I've just announced the lowest variable home loan rate ever offered in the history of Mortgage House. I've been in the home loan industry for 29 years, and I've never seen a variable home loan rate as low as this. So how low can rates go?